Chapter 11. Torin.
Know that I am the truth. Hear my words. Obey. Rise once more from the darkness.
Even now, Torin heard the voice in the silence, but he'd forgotten the words. They called to him in the darkness of his soul, pulling him towards the south. But his feet could not move, and though he looked towards the horizon, he could not go. But he still heard the call vibrating in his soul. It was one of three things he remembered. Torin was a level 11 skeleton warrior. That was his purpose, his name and sense of being. That wasn't one of the three things he remembered, though. It was just who he was. That was what the voice in his head told him. The other voice in his head. Torin had many voices that told him things. Sometimes the skeleton had a hard time figuring out which ones were real, but he was getting better at listening. He could listen and follow orders. Of all the things Torin knew he was good at that. He had orders, so he followed them. That was simple. Sometimes the orders weren't. Today, the young woman in front of him had an extra snap in her voice as she shouted at him. That usually meant she was upset. Why was she upset? Usually when she was upset, it was because Torin had made a mistake. But Torin was sure he'd done everything right this time. All night long, he'd been pushing snow together like Aaron had told him. He'd made a very tall wall, and that was good, wasn't it? There wasn't anything Aaron could find wrong with his wall. Hey! How am I supposed to get out? Torin paused. Then he turned his head 180 degrees and stared at the wall. Oh. Aaron glared at him and told him to clear a hole. Torin did just that as she stomped back inside and slammed the door. It was one of the things he'd learned. Somehow, despite all he did, he kept making mistakes. Aaron would tell him to do something simple, like collect water, but then she'd say something like, "Don't bring back fish in the bucket! How did you think that was a good idea? How did you even fit one in there?" It was a mystery. Not the fish. Anything could be squished into a smaller thing with enough time. But Torin had been created to serve Aaron, and it distressed him that he never seemed to do his job right. He was a skeleton. He was bound to serve. This he knew. It was one of the three things Torin remembered, even when he was being smashed into the ground by a mace or something was trying to break his skull into. He remembered. He remembered being made. Sight. That was the first thing that Torin remembered. Only it wasn't sight. Not quite. He didn't see, because he had no eyes, but he was aware of the world nonetheless, in ways that could only be described as sight by primitive language. He could sense colors, shapes, and movement. Not well. Torin had seen birds and other things which could see farther than he could. If he looked too far in one direction, he couldn't make out details. But he could see, and the first thing he'd seen was a dancing mage. At the time, Torin hadn't known it was dancing. Understanding, like everything else, had come in the rush of magic as it continued to build him. Basic concepts like sword fighting, gravity, general anatomy, and the idea of nudity were imparted to Torin. Although, admittedly, he was a bit hazy on that last bit. It was important not to stare at Aaron when she had less clothing. That was all he knew. But the dancing mage? Torin remembered his bones rising together to form his mortal frame, and the disheveled mage dancing around in front of him. Perhaps it was dancing. It looked more like wild waving of arms and legs, and incoherent laughing and crying. Which was close to dancing? Pisces, that was the name of his creator. Torin only remembered because sometimes his orders pertained to Pisces. Orders like, Don't let him steal any food from the kitchen or poke him with a sword. Although when he tried to poke Pisces with a sword, this too was apparently a mistake. But the mage had laughed and danced and cried as he pointed at Torin, as the skeleton was first being created. Torin remembered the words.
I did it. I finally succeeded. The first. The very first.
It wasn't very coherent speech, but Torin remembered the mage had been happy because of him. It mattered little, but then had come the words.
let's see. That's right. I suppose I must use you in less optimal tasks. Well then, hear and know your purpose. You are to guard and serve the individual known as Erin Solstice. Protect her. Obey her words.
The words had struck Torin like thunder and lightning, echoing around in his soul. They etched themselves into the core of his very being. Words that would never fade. The first and last command. Even now, as Torin shoveled wet, hard snow away from his wall, he remembered.
Protect Erin Solstice. Obey her. Be used in less optimal tasks.
They were the words that shaped his existence. One of the three things he remembered. After that, Pisces had gone back to the laughing and talking to himself. Torin forgot most of the rest. At some point, the mage had come back and spoken at length. He'd used many complex words. Words like, render unto me total obedience, and forsoever work to advance the cause of my designs, and so on. But that was after the words of binding, the words of creation. So they didn't count. The snow was hard to separate with mere fingers, so Torin picked up the piece of wood he'd used as a shovel and began to send snow flying into the air. In truth, he didn't mind Erin's new orders. He'd built a wall, and now he was getting rid of part of it. A human or other sentient being might have objected to the wasted effort, but Torin didn't have anything better to do, and he never got bored. He had a job, and he did it. And he didn't get cold or uncomfortable. He never got back problems from twisting around or bending over constantly like Erin complained about. There. The snow was cleared away, enough to let a human pass through. Torin stared in satisfaction at the breach, and then wondered what he should do next. Make a bigger hole? Or clear more snow? It was hard, but he had to obey. Torin always obeyed. Erin came back later to give Torin instructions. By that time, he'd managed to add nearly another foot to the height of his wall, an accomplishment he felt vaguely proud of, but which she didn't comment on.
Okay, here's the plan.
Torin looked at Erin expectantly as she shivered at him. She pointed in the direction of Liscor.
I'm going to buy more stuff. Food, and I need to check on my friends. While I'm gone, I want you to find more firewood. Got it?
Torin knew that meant Erin was going to Liscor. He'd never been to Liscor. Erin had told him many times he wasn't allowed to go near the city in case he scared someone. But it bothered him when she went, because he had to protect her. But she gave him orders, so he had to obey. The only problem was that while Torin understood firewood as a general concept, he had no idea where firewood might be found. Normally, Erin burned broken chairs and tables. Did she mean that? Erin frowned at Torin as he looked around, hoping there would be some handy broken tables nearby for him to use.
I don't know where any is. Go find some trees.
Trees? Firewood could come from trees? It was a good order. Torin nodded, and Erin eyed him suspiciously for a second before she turned and left. That was almost hurtful. If Torin had any emotions to hurt, he could be relied on. he would find a tree and obtain firewood. Somehow. Torin was beginning to understand feelings. Or maybe it was that he was beginning to think of thoughts. He hadn't before. Torin remembered a time before he'd been able to think about himself. Then he'd only obeyed orders as a dumb thing, mechanically. But ever since leveling up from fighting, and especially after the battle with Skinner, Torin had begun thinking more and more about complex things. Things like, if Erin told him to gather fruits, did she mean rotting fruits lying on the ground with worms and bugs crawling over them? If Erin was screaming and telling him to get rid of a bug, did that mean squash it, stab it, or take it outside? How many ways could he stab Pisces? Which way would make the mage die faster? It wasn't that Torin had any particular animosity towards his creator, but one of his tasks was to protect Erin. Therefore, if Pisces ever attacked, Torin would have to be able to kill him. This all made perfect sense. The winter landscape was full of snow. So much snow. Torin had never seen snow, and he was unaccustomed to moving in it. It was unfortunate how slow it made him move. He'd take two steps, fall in a snowdrift, and spend precious minutes digging himself back up. That was inconvenient, but fine. But Torin was also distracted by the dancing blue shapes circling overhead. They were hard to see, and harder still to hear. But Torin could understand every language, and the language of the fairies was somewhat comprehensible to him. They laughed and followed his slow progress from overhead.
Hark! Look, sisters! The Bag of Bones is going to find the frail human some fire! Does that stupid thing not know it has no axe? No axe! Nor sword! How will it cut down a tree? Without its teeth?
Torin paused. He looked down at his empty hands. He'd forgotten his sword. Well, it wasn't his sword, because Erin wouldn't let him wear it all the time. But it was a good point. He needed something to cut with. Immediately, Torin turned around and began to walk back to the inn as the frost fairies circled around overhead.
The stupid thing hears us!
On his way back to the inn, the fairies dumped snow on him twice, and then sent a gust of wind that blew him down a hill. But they got bored and left quickly, because Torin only got back on his feet and kept walking. He wasn't sure if they were enemies, but the frost fairies were too high up, and he didn't have a bow or arrows. The first trees Torin found were the blue fruit trees in the small orchard Erin had discovered long ago. The gray bark of the trees was the only thing that stood out against the white backdrop. All of the strange green leaves had fallen into the snow, as had the blue fruits. Only the trees remained, somber sentinels. Torin raised the sword he'd taken from an adventurer long ago and wondered whether there was such a thing as a good tree for firewood, and how many should he cut down? He decided all of them was a good start, and began with the tree closest to him. Torin raised his sword and took aim at the tree's trunk. He'd gained a few skills from leveling up to level 11. Lesser strength was one of them. Now the sword wasn't nearly so heavy in his hands, and Torin even felt like he might be able to decapitate an enemy in three cuts. The skeleton raised the sword and brought it down and across in a mighty blow. The iron sword crashed into the bark of the tree and bounced off. The impact nearly jarred the weapon from Torin's hands. He lost his balance and then raised his sword again. He sliced at the tree, and his blade seemed to just bounce off the gray wood. Torin didn't frown. He didn't bother to hesitate. He raised his sword and began hacking at the wood. After a while, he switched sides because the sword blade was getting dull. In the end, he dropped the sword and began kicking at the tree. After about an hour, Torin had to admit that he wasn't making much progress. The bark of the tree he'd attacked was barely scarred from his efforts, and his sword was dull and the handle was slightly bent. This tree wasn't going to be so easily felled. Torin paused, the snowflakes flurrying around his head, Some flew into his burning eyes and melted. The water ran out of Torin's jaws. Find firewood. That was what Aaron had said. She told him to go find trees for firewood. Otherwise, he would have just cut up parts of the inn. But here were trees that he couldn't cut. That was a problem. Unless, maybe, just maybe, these weren't the trees Aaron wanted. Aha! See? Now that was the kind of advanced thinking that separated Torin from other skeletons. Torin left the blue fruit orchard, congratulating himself on his newfound revelation as he walked through the snow. He wasn't like other undead. He knew that from experience. When the undead had attacked Lescore, Torin had been quite worried. He'd been worried Aaron was going to replace him with a ghoul, or maybe a zombie, or another skeleton. He'd been quite relieved when it turned out that they were all trying to kill her. But then again, they'd all been obeying the creature known as Skinner. Torin had heard the commands from the giant worm creature, felt the minds of the crypt lords trying to control him, but he was unique in a way that allowed him to ignore their orders. Unique. It was a good thing to be, Torin felt. He could do things other skeletons could not. For instance, when he fought, sometimes he got smashed or his bones were scattered. But unlike other skeletons, no matter how badly Torin got hurt, he could always get back up. It was due to magic and the mana that Aaron was supplying him. Torin had a limit to the mana he could contain, but it was that force, that power inside him that brought his bones together or healed fractures. If he ran out, Torin might well die for good, like his skeleton counterparts. That was a concern that Torin thought about as he slipped into a hole full of angry spiders and got caught in their webs. They bit him constantly, hard enough to fracture his bones. Now, breaks weren't too bad. As long as the bones weren't shattered or scattered far away, the mana required to repair his frame wasn't too high. Which was good, because Aaron didn't provide him with much mana. Torin was no mage, but he understood Aaron was generating some mana by living, and it went directly to him, thanks to Pisces. But that amount was terribly, terribly low. Torin could vaguely sense the magic of others, and Ryoka, the other human who he wasn't allowed to kill, had 4 times as much magic in her than Aaron. If she supplied Torin with mana, he'd probably have more energy to do everything. As it was, he struggled hard, and the shield spiders bit him until they realized there was nothing to really bite. They untangled him from their webs rather than let him stay, and he left the hidden pit trap. He wasn't sure he could hurt the shield spiders with his dull sword, and there were nearly 40 big ones in the nest. Torin continued on his way. He was looking for trees. Yes, things would be so much easier if he had a different supplier of mana. Ryoka, for all that she had more magic in her than Aaron, was a candle compared to the bonfires that were Pisces and Saria. Either one could sustain at least 10 Torins quite easily, but Aaron was Torin's source of energy. And that was that. Torin wasn't sure how far he'd walked when he first saw the clump of trees in the distance. They appeared as he crested the hill, a blob of brown in the snow. He went towards them swiftly and saw it was a small forest of trees. True, the trees did seem somewhat odd. Several of them were missing their bark entirely, and Torin wasn't sure why. His general assumption was that something had eaten the bark. Torin didn't really care. Trees were wood, and wood was what he needed. If he wanted to think about something, well, he tried not to think about anything except what needed doing. Unnecessary thoughts weren't useful. It was hard work cutting through a tree with a dull sword blade. But while it was hard, it wasn't impossible like the other trees had been. Torin eventually managed to fell the tree and even slice off a large bit through sheer dint of repetitive hacking with his sword. In truth, it was his enhanced strength that did most of the work. By the time he'd finished cutting a slice of the tree away, the sword he was using was well and truly useless. The skeleton left it behind in the forest. He
He'd come back later if he needed it, and besides, he needed both hands to drag the large section of tree he'd cut away.
It was slow going, dragging a huge, heavy piece of wood through the snow.
More than once, Torin slipped while pushing his burden up a hill, and it would roll down right over him as he struggled to get up. Yes, the journey was filled with struggles. Torin disturbed shield spider nests, suffered fairies dropping snow on his head, and disappointed a bear who only knocked him sprawling once when she realized he wasn't edible. He pushed onwards, carrying the piece of tree, watching as a herd of hairy boars followed a knoll through the snow, and seeing far in the distance the giant golems made of snow slowly forming and coming to life as he once had. He would complete his task. He would do it well. That was what Torin knew he had to do. And at last, he was there. Torin pushed part of the tree trunk up next to the inn and wondered whether he'd be able to get another part back before Aaron returned. Possibly, if he wasn't attacked on the way. But then, Torin had a thought. He had wood. Perhaps it was firewood. But who could really tell? Was all wood the same? What if he had, not firewood? He had to know. Torin found another hatchet among the weapons he'd collected. He wasn't sure it would cut better than a sword, but it might do. He began hacking apart the huge piece of tree he'd collected. How odd! The bark on this tree was quite thick, and it actually came off quite easily. Torin managed to cut a nice big chunk out of the tree and carried it into the inn. He dumped it in the fireplace and looked around. Aaron had shown him very carefully how to start fires and keep it going. He just needed the flint and tinder, and perhaps a coal if the kitchen fire was still warm. It was not, but Torin still managed to get a small blaze going quite quickly. A few wood shavings here, and the flames caught and began eating away at the wood. And it was firewood! Torin was happy, insofar as he could be happy. Satisfied was probably a better word. He had fire, and the wood was burning brightly, too. Torin gazed at the burning wood, and then noticed something odd. The bark was reacting to the heat. As the temperature rose from frozen to not so frozen, the wood and bark seemed to twist a bit, as if alive. Torin tilted his head slightly. Was this a bad thing? He'd never seen it happen with the other wood he'd burned. Maybe it just needed to be hotter. Torin found the fireplace poker and poked the wood a few times. The bark-covered wood seemed to flex as the flames grew in the fireplace. Torin woke up later. He wasn't sure when later was, only that he was in pieces. The feeling wasn't unfamiliar to him, though. He felt his head rolling back toward the rest of his body, and then his other bones joined him. 1, 2, 3. Torin lost count after 150. He had a lot of bones. Some were human, but others were drake and gnoll. He didn't mind that. His ribcage was stronger than normal humans, and he had thicker bones that helped withstand damage. Most of the time, that was. When Torin was fully reassembled, he finally had time to wonder what had happened. What had happened? He'd been watching the firewood in the fire, and then...
You blew it up!
Torin looked around. There was Aaron. She was back. She could see he'd found firewood, and... Only now did Torin realize that something was very wrong. Something was horribly, terribly wrong. It was a hard thing to notice at first. Here was the inn, and here was the outside. Normally, these two things were totally fine, almost mundane, but Torin was quite sure that the outside shouldn't be connected to the inn so intimately. Cold, biting winds howled into the massive gaping hole in the front part of the wandering inn. Torin stared into the gaping mess of destroyed furniture and upturned foundations and felt uneasy. This wasn't right. Something was horribly wrong. Erin Solstice stared at her destroyed inn, at a loss for words. Torin watched her anxiously. Did she know what had happened? She was just staring at the devastation. Did she want him to clean it up? Was it his fault?
I told you to get firewood. How did this happen? It's just firewood. How could you?
Erin looked around and caught sight of the bit of tree Torin had brought with him. She turned pale.
Oh my God, the boom trees. You cut one of them down? They explode! How did you not notice that?
Oh. Torin didn't understand exactly, but he put the pieces together. An exploding tree? It hadn't done anything when he approached, but the tactician inside him told him it probably had to do with the temperature. When it warmed up was when it exploded. If he'd thought more about the oddness of the trees, maybe Torin would have realized that. So, not all unnecessary thoughts were unnecessary. It was better to think more. An important lesson. Torin knew that was the case. But right now, all he felt was guilty. Erin glared down at Torin.
Do you have any idea how much it's going to cost to repair all this? In the winter?
Torin did not know. All he knew was that Erin was angry. Angrier than when he accidentally started tearing floorboards up for a fire. Angrier than when he kept adding salt to the soup because she'd never said when to stop. Even angrier than when she said, "Give me a hand," and he did. She was really angry. Torin was ready. He knew what happened when he made a mistake. Erin would shout at him or throw things or tell him she hated him. But she didn't do it this time. The young woman dressed in thick winter clothing stared at her destroyed inn and slowly sank down and sat on the ground. She sat in the snow, despite Torin's understanding that she didn't like cold things. She bowed her head, and when she spoke, her voice was thick.
"Go away, Torin."
Torin hesitated. He'd never heard an order like that before. He'd never heard Erin speaking like that either. He stared at her face. Wetness was rolling down her cheeks and freezing in the wind. Tears? Tears. The sight paralyzed Torin, but the words stuck in him. Go away. Go? Go where? Erin didn't look at him. She just pointed behind her.
Go away. Just go away.
Torin didn't want to go. For once, he didn't want to obey, but his feet marched him around and took him away. The skeleton slowly began walking, as inside of him, she was crying. That was what it was called, crying. She was upset, sad, dismissal. Heartbroken, sorrowful, blue. Torin understood the words, thanks to the magic that gave him understanding. He knew the words, but he'd never known what they meant. Until now. Torin walked down the hill slowly, head bowed. The drake named Relk and the Antinium named Kilbikich walked past him, ignoring Torin. The half-elf and two drakes followed, all ignoring Torin, although the female drake did stare at him and flinch away. He took no notice. Torin walked on, unseeing, ignoring the slippery ground beneath him. He just walked away, thinking. He'd made another mistake, a terrible one. This wasn't like his other mistakes. This time he'd destroyed part of the inn. He'd destroyed something important. He had made Erin cry. Was it a bad thing? It wasn't part of his orders. He was just supposed to obey Aaron. Obey and protect, and do non-optimal things. Nothing in his instructions mentioned making her happy or sad, so it didn't matter. That was what Torin thought, and he tried thinking that thought quite hard. But it didn't help. The sight and memory of Aaron crying disturbed him in a way he couldn't explain. It was wrong. It wasn't right. It wasn't how things should have been. Torin remembered the firewood. He'd found the trees, he'd cut the wood, and dragged it back to the inn. He'd done everything perfectly. If only he'd waited. If only he hadn't tried to set it on fire. If... Torin stumbled and fell. He looked around. Where was he? White snow and rolling hills and valleys all around him. Somewhere in the plains. He was lost. But that didn't matter. He could always find Aaron again. He was tethered to her. But she didn't want him. She'd told him to go away. For how long? Forever? Torin didn't want to go. But he had to. Those were the orders. They were one of the three things he remembered. The voice called to him, south. He remembered the words.
Rise once more from the darkness. Come to me, my eternal army. Gather and know your time of return is at hand.
It had spoken to him after Skinner died. He remembered it, a voice in his head. It had called the others, all the other undead. They'd left at the command, carrying the magical swords and shields and strange objects glowing with power out of the ruins. South. Should Torin go south? The voice wasn't his master, but it still called to him, one of the things he could never forget. It was tempting, so tempting. Aaron didn't want him. If she didn't want him, he should go. He only made her sad and angry. It was a thought that only came to him in the darkest hours of the night, when there wasn't anything left to do. Why was he doing any of this? Why should he obey the words in his head? They were just words. Why should they bind him? The voice called to him. He should go. Torin began walking south, away from the inn, away from Aaron, to the voice. The voice would give him purpose, he was sure. But he stopped. It was just... Torin was a level 11 skeleton warrior. That was what the voice in his head told him, but he never bothered to remember that. It wasn't important. There were only three things Torin remembered. One was the orders that bound him to this world. The second was the voice which whispered to him, which spoke to an entire continent and called the dead. The third was the music. He heard it in the silence of his mind. It came to him even when no one was speaking, when Aaron was angry or Torin was fighting. It wasn't something Torin could control. Time and time again, he tried to stop the sound. He'd hurled himself off the roof of the inn, stuck his head underwater to let fish bite at his head. He'd hit himself again and again, but the music always played on. A faint strumming was how it started, a strange sound Torin had never heard before, a rhythmic strumming, and then a man's voice. When Aaron had sung it, it had been her voice. But Torin had heard another voice, and it was in his head now. A gentle croon growing louder, and then the words.
Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high.
They echoed in his soul, a voice sung to Torin, telling him about a place beyond the rainbow, a place where dreams could come true.
How to be brave. How can I love when I'm afraid?
Piano, violins, things Torin didn't have words for because he'd never heard them before. But the music caught him and held him. He could never forget.
I have loved you for 1,000 years. Torin stopped. He stared to the south, towards the voice, but the music was louder. It touched him, and something in Torin was there to listen, something beyond mere bones and magic. He did not know its name, but it terrified him. But it made him rejoice. It was what he had that none of the undead had. It was his, and he could never forget it. And it was a picture, a song, a moment. A young woman sitting in her inn, singing alone and surrounded by people, singing with one voice that carried a song from another world on her lips.
I don't know why you hurt inside, or what was said to make you cry.
Torin clutched at his head. His jaws opened and he howled wordlessly. The music was in him. He could never forget. Never.
Aaron smiled at him as he held out a basket of blue fruit.
Thanks, Torin. I guess you're pretty useful after all, huh?
She slapped him on the back as Torin contemplated his next move in the odd game of chess.
Don't think. Just go for it. I mean, think and go for it. You can do it, okay?
He rushed to Aaron's side, sword drawn as she screamed and cried out. She shouted a name in the night.
Mom! Dad!
She wept. And he stood guard over her until she stopped crying.
Thank you, Torin. Thanks, Torin. Good job, Tor.
Torin stood up. He shook. The voice still called to him from the south, full of power, echoing in the very fabric of his being. But it was a weak thing. Quiet. It couldn't control him. Only Torin could control himself. And right now, he had his orders. Go away. Just go away. But Torin remembered orders before that.
I'm going to visit some friends. Don't follow me into the city. Wait around the inn until I'm gone. Do something useful. I'll be back before nightfall.
He remembered every order Aaron had ever given him, and she said that to him once, long ago, but it still counted.
Do something productive. Do something useful. Torin remembered grabbing a fish out of the water and hacking it apart. Aaron hadn't been happy, but she'd said he did a good job in the end.
He wasn't useful. He was worthless. He made the inn explode, and that was bad. He couldn't fight the adventurer with one eye, and he couldn't kill many things. He needed to be more useful. He needed to be stronger. Yes, strong. Harder, better, faster. He wasn't sure how he could make his bones stronger, but perhaps he could wear armor. That would make him slower, not faster, but better was more important. He had to be better. Level up? But how? Fight things? He wasn't allowed to kill humans, or drakes, or gnolls, or goblins, or antinium, or a lot of things. What about shield spiders? What about frost fairies? What about the shadowy human that kept following Ryoka around? Torin didn't know. He had no idea. And that made Torin frustrated. For the first time in his life, he felt genuinely irritated. He couldn't think, and it made him angry. Aaron was the one with ideas. She had good orders. He had to go back, even if she would be angry. She told him to go, but he should go back. He would go back. He would go back, and Aaron would give him orders. If she didn't want him, well, then he'd think of something else. But he would go back.
Torin nodded. The blue flames in his eyes burned hotter, whiter. The dark sapphire color flared bright white blue, and he turned with determination. He would be better. The skeleton took 2 steps in the snow, walked right to avoid tripping over a stone twice, and fell into the gaping hole as the snow collapsed around him. Torin fell down, down, down. He bounced off a rock, crashed into something hard, and then smashed into the ground so hard his bones scattered in every direction. For a few minutes, all was confusion. Torin reassembled himself as quickly as possible, trying to figure out what had happened. He'd fallen? How? Why? A hole. A break in the ceiling. Torin looked up. Yes, he could see something overhead. He'd fallen through a hole, some kind of chasm. Harsh stone crags shone in the faint light all the way down. He was nearly 400 feet underground, perhaps. But that wasn't the interesting bit. The interesting bit came when Torin noticed the stone changed roughly 15 feet overhead. From broken, normal bedrock and stone, the walls became smooth and refined. He was in some kind of ruins? Yes, ruins. Torin recognized it as being the same sort of corridor as the ruins where he'd went with Aaron to find Saria and Olesim. But these were different corridors, a different place. Where was he? A vast stone corridor stretched out in front of him, dark stone under his feet, a long corridor with two exits at the end. Torin stared and saw bright yellow light coming from the right side and darkness from the other. He turned around and saw only darkness behind him. Some kind of passageway? Leading where? The corridor wasn't dark. Something was lighting it up. Torin looked around and saw glowing runes on the walls, strange shapes and symbols that glowed in different colors, and that was only what his eyes told him. He could feel this place, feel the nature of it. Magic, pure and unrefined, hummed through the air. Torin could sense movement around him, magical hot spots of power burning his otherworldly senses, more undead, like him, and movement, struggling figures, shapes slithering, running around him. This place, this underground structure was full of life. The magical runes around him lit up as something moved down the corridor. Torin saw something humanoid walking towards him. A giant armored warrior appeared in the corridor, a figure clad in massive plate mail that would be too large for even Relk. Torin saw the strange warrior was holding a greatsword in one hand. As the armored figure drew closer, Torin suddenly realized something was wrong. The armor was pristine, oddly so, for a place this far down. But that wasn't what was strange. What was strange was that the armored warrior had no head. Tucked beneath the suit of armor's other hand was a helmet. It was glowing. Something was casting light between the slits in the visor, and the armored head was looking straight at him. Torin looked around for a sword, a weapon, anything. But there was nothing in the corridor, and the armor was locked onto his position. The skeleton could run, but he didn't know where he was, and he wasn't sure what was happening. So he waited. The magical creation walked towards him, footsteps echoing hollowly down the corridor. It stopped about 10 feet away from Torin. The enchanted suit of armor raised its sword, and orange-red light like the lights of hell spilled out from the open cavity at its neck. Torin heard a horrible roar of sound, the screeching of metal on metal, so loud and furious that it sounded like something living. It advanced, placing the helmet on its head and holding the sword in a two-handed grip. Torin stared at the armor. It would kill him, grind his bones, destroy him. He would die if he didn't fight or run. He knew. There was no Aaron to tell him what to do. Torin was alone, alone and without a weapon. But that was okay. He had orders. He had a purpose. Slowly, Torin opened his jaws impossibly wide, stretching them so wide his skull tilted backwards. He reached up and with one skeletal hand reached up into the cavity where his brain would have been. The suit of armor stopped as Torin pulled something crimson out of his skull. The skeleton pushed and pulled it in the inside of his skull, wedging a gem into the inside of his skull, anchoring it behind his eye sockets. Torin looked up. The enchanted gem he'd taken from Skinner glowed in his head. He couldn't know it, but the blue flames in his eyes were mixing with the crimson light from the gem, turning the flames in his eyes a deep purple. The enchanted armor hesitated as Torin began strolling down the corridor towards him. The skeleton had no weapons, no armor of any kind. It was just a skeleton. But there was something about it that made the magic automating the armor and sword readjust its stance. Torin didn't care. He looked back above, where faint light was shining down from on high. Too far to climb, even if he could find a way to reach the ceiling. But this place had been built by something for a reason. Torin understood buildings. They usually had an entrance and an exit that didn't involve a hole in the ground. There was a way out. All he had to do was find it. And if there were things that wanted to kill him, that was fine. Torin clenched his fist as the armored warrior began to thunder down the hall towards him. He ran forwards, mouth open wide in a wordless shout. He was going back.